Perfect. Hi, hello again, everybody, and welcome to episode 20 of Racing Refresh Happy Hour, this one titled A Case of the Mondays. I'm Logan Andy Morris, and a hearty Omaha to each and every one of you that tune in. And I don't do it alone, thank God, and we might be missing one member, but we're bringing back another. That's right, the best man has returned. The senior open wheel guru is here. Let's bring him on in. Colin Best, how in the hell are you, my good man?
I am doing fantastic, Logan. It's great to be back after my day job took me away, but we have a lot of racing action to talk about. We have a lot of racing action to look forward to as we approach almost the second to last weekend of July. But it's also this Saturday is my birthday. I'm turning 29 years old. I'm very excited, but I feel like I'm only 24. So ready to get this, spend the next hour with you in the Pegster, and talk about some racing.
The Pegster, that might be the newest Racing Refresh Happy Hour t-shirt right there. The Pegster. And that's not innuendo, ladies and gentlemen. So, look, Colin, happy early birthday, buddy. Looking forward to hopefully you having a great birthday this weekend. I would say I hope that Denny Hamlin wins for you this weekend, but that's just not true. But let's bring her in. Let's talk to her. The most riveting member of this team, producer Peggy, she's doing it old school tonight. She's got to keep us on track because Adam is doing Canadian things. Peggy, come on in here. How are you?
I'm okay. I don't remember the race. Did I sleep through it?
You did sleep a fair amount. Yeah.
Well,
not entirely through it entirely, but certainly by the through the finish, you were selling some logs.
After the weekend we had,
Weekend you guys had, partying it up and having fun at a concert.
We served a 3-day prison sentence at the Mansfield, the Ohio State Reformatory. Yeah, that's it right there. Uh-huh.
Nice.
So that's what we did, but in case you don't know, Peggy, Martin Truex won in classic Martin Truex.
I did know that, but I was going to give my weekly Ryan Blaney update, but yeah. I don't.
He finished 22nd. He finished 22nd after some pit issues.
Well, that's not good.
Well, I mean, there's much worse weeks than 22nd, to be fair. But if we're going to break it down all the way,
you'd know about that.
What the hell, Pete? Yeah, that's rude. That's just rude.
Yeah, that was kind of rude.
I mean, oh, geez. You sign with the fantasy team, and all of a sudden you got the biggest cojones in here. I mean, you kidding me? All right. Well, with that, look, we got to talk some racing, and that includes all sorts of racing. So you know what that means it's time for, Peggy? it's time for our weekend review. Oh, looky there, looky there, looky there, 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 looky there, looky there, looky there, there, there. All right, so in the Xfinity Series, John Hunterney, which I did it again, got his fourth win at fourth win of the season at the Magic Mile. And look, I said it last week. I think John Hunter right now is the favorite for the Xfinity Series Championship. Now, it comes down to one race, Colin, as you know, at Phoenix. So it's tough to call anyone a true blue favorite, but he damn sure seems like a lock for the championship four. And Joe Gibbs as a whole has got something clicking because they did it again with Martin Truex. We'll get to that in a moment. But let's focus on John Hunter Nemechek. Something is clicking. Something's clicking in a big way. Fourth win. And he just feels like he feels like he's having the season that we kind of thought that Cole Custer would have. And now Cole Custer's not having a bad year, two wins, but we thought he would own this Mamma Jamma, and thus far he's not. What are your thoughts on John Hunter's win this past weekend, I should say, and his season thus far?
It's been a very impressive season. And, you know, the only reason why John Hunter Nemechek is actually in the Xfinity Series because he did not perform well enough to stay in the Cup Series with Furniture Row Racing. And to be honest with you, he seems to be performing at that level where he probably could have kept that seat. I mean, he's actually doing a really good job in the Joe Gibbs Xfinity Series program. And I certainly think that he is the favorite to win the championship at this point in the season, no doubt in my mind. But as you know, with Daniel Hemric a couple of years ago, it doesn't matter how well you do the entire season. As long as you win the last one, you can become the champion. So to me, this is very impressive what I'm seeing out of John Hunter Nemechek. It's just really him and maybe Justin Allgaier, and then everyone else is kind of separated from the pack a little bit. But, you know, we're still 6-7 weeks away from the Xfinity Series playoffs. Think teams can get hot the right time. The college guys can get hot. Another person in JRM could get a little bit hot. But right now, John Hunter Nemechek is kind of putting the Xfinity Series on his back and sort of carrying it through. And hopefully this leads him to going back to the Cup Series sometime in the future.
No question. I think you hit the nail on the head. John Hunter has a bright, bright future. I thought he had the humility and intelligence to take a step back and go to trucks, and I think it's going to benefit him in the long run. Sometimes in this sport, you got to play the long game, and I think he's doing just that, and it's going to treat him just fine if he just waits another year or two. In the Cup Series, we already mentioned Martin Truex Jr. did it again on a Monday. Monday, Martin striked again. Just another manic Monday, whatever you want to call it. There's something about Martin and Monday goes together like peanut butter and jelly. We know he got the win this year at Dover on a Monday to snap that big drought. He has been known to get Monday wins. And as always, as Dave Moody once said and says so adequately, no one stinks up a show like Martin Truex Jr. because when he wins, he doesn't just win. He does his best Richard Petty impersonation and absolutely dominates the field. And he did that. He did that in a big way. He did that in a big way. Matt Marr tuning in. Matt Marr, a great friend to Racing Refresh. We love you, Matt. John Hunter, he said, is going to replace Truex in the JGR camp within the next couple of years, depending on if Martin retires. I think that's where the smart money is. I mean, it sure feels that way. What say you, Colin?
I mean, it all depends on if Martin Truex Jr. wants to leave at this point, because certainly right now he has three wins in the season. He's doing really well. This is certainly one of his best career years so far. I still think Martin Truex Jr. has a couple of years left in the tank, to be honest with you. So for me, you know, I would look at if John Hunter Nemechek did enter the Cup Series at some point, if 2311 probably adds a seat, a third team to their garage, that maybe John Hunter Nemechek could take a third seat at 2311. The Toyota camp is certainly going to be a little bit fuller in 2024 as the Legacy Motor Club joins the fold. But if anyone is primed to expand their team, it would probably be 2311 before he gets the nod at Joe Gibbs Racing.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You talk about expanding teams, and I know we're just speculating, but I don't think anyone's going to expand anytime soon. I'll tell you why. And I, when I say anytime soon, I mean for 2024. Obviously, 2025 would change things. But think about this. Let's break it down for a second. I know this is a tangent, but this is what we do. If you consider this, we don't know what the future of the charter system is right now. We have no idea. We know that Jim France doesn't want it to stick around forever. We also know that the revenue sharing is a very contentious point right now. We know the media rights deals are quickly looming. I don't know where you'd buy in and get a charter right now, because no one's making money. No one's making the kind of profit that they need. So unless you're just that driven to buy in, I don't see why you would, number one, buy in. Because Dale Earnhardt Jr. made headlines this past week for essentially saying we've made no progress on getting a charter for 24, and it's probably not going to happen for 24. And so if Dale Jr. can't find his way in, now Dale Jr. is historically frugal. Let's keep that in mind about him. It's well known. It's a well-known joke on the Dale Jr. download that Dale Jr. Can pinch a penny so tight into Abe Lincoln is screaming. But if he can't find his way in, where's 2311 going to get a charter? Is Rick Ware going to give one up? If so, you're going to pay that kind of money when you're not making the kind of money you want to make right now because of the revenue sharing and you're still kind of coming out of COVID as far as the business goes. I don't think anyone expands. Do you think the 2311 is going to take the plunge given the complete uncertainty of the financial structure of the sport right now?
I think they do. And the reason why is Toyota is really pushing for more seats. Right now, they're the only manufacturer who has the less amount of cars on a Cup Series weekend by far. I mean, Ford and Chevy are dominant. The more Toyotas they can get, honestly, I think the better they will do. This will certainly help them at Talladega and Daytona when, you know, we see the manufacturers team up. Toyota has to piggyback off someone at Daytona and Talladega, and that's usually the Chevy team because they don't want to work with Ford. We saw that Daytona 500 a couple of years ago. So to me, if anyone is willing to expand their team, it is 2311. I think if memory serves me correct, they have so many sponsors, they don't know who to put on the car by each single week with 2311. To me, if anyone has the funding and the sponsorship to field a third car full-time, it would be 2311 out of every single team in the NASCAR Cup Series.
That's a fair point. Let us know in the comments, Matt and anyone else, who do you think is next in line to potentially expand their operation in NASCAR? Is it 2311? Is it another team? Let us know what you think in the comments below. We'll be sure to read them and give our thoughts on them throughout the show. But for now, we got to continue our week in review. Tell us about IndyCar, my friend. Somebody got their first big dub. Talk to me.
Yeah, it was great to see the Grand Prix of Toronto back. It's only been around for the past 2 years since the COVID lockdown. We haven't had it for 2 years. It's always a great race to watch. It's one of the true most difficult street courses on the IndyCar schedule. And you're right, the unexpected Christian Lundgaard from Ray Hall Letterman Lanigan Racing. They have had almost a terrible year so far in 2023, and they finally break through for a win, which is probably going to be their only win so far of the year. But if you look at what Christian Lundgaard has done since Detroit, he's went on to have a 7th, 4th, and now a win in the IndyCar Series. So things are looking up for Christian Lundgaard. He's obviously pointing himself in the right direction around the middle point of 2023 as we're going into our last two oval races of the season. We're getting race 2 and 3 of the ovals in the IndyCar season so far. So as our English friends, it was a banger of a race at Toronto. And there is a little hesitancy if Toronto may return to the IndyCar Series schedule in the next coming years, as you know, Roger Penske is looking to add more tracks, and you know, he may have to take away some of those dates to get new tracks involved in IndyCar Series schedule. But if Toronto goes away, I think that would be a huge disservice to all of IndyCar. I mean, it's their only trip north in the entire season. There are a lot of Canadian drivers who race in the IndyCar Series, and it certainly gives you that more international flavor that you normally don't get with NASCAR, as they only race here in America. Well, until 2024, we'll find out when that schedule drops. But to me, this was certainly another great race. IndyCar has only had maybe one race so far this year that actually hasn't been good. Everything else has done entirely phenomenal, and I'm very impressed with IndyCar. They're going back to back to back, and now we get a doubleheader at Iowa this weekend, and we'll talk about that later in the show. I'm very excited for that as well. So absolutely perfect, perfect job by Christian Lundgaard and that Ray Hall Letterman Lanigan Racing team.
Agreed. Look, it's going to be interesting. He's the 2022 Rookie of the Year. Do you think he's for real? That's a question that Adam wanted us to answer in his rundown. Do you think he's for real?
I think he's one of those guys who could be one of the next future stars in the IndyCar series. I mean, he's for real. Don't get me wrong. But it does take time for talent to sort of develop in the IndyCar series, where in NASCAR, you go from the Xfinity series to the Cup series, which is kind of different because you're going from a really way more powerful car in the Xfinity series to the Cup series, which is lesser than. In IndyCar, you're taking a huge jump from Indy Lights to IndyCar. Completely different animal. It's kind of like getting a four-cylinder going all the way up to a 12-cylinder. It's like taking your Renault Clio and getting a Aston Martin GT4. It's completely a different world. But, you know, it takes a little bit for people to get used to it. That's why Kyle Kirkwood kind of had this slump the entire first year, and then he broke through at the Grand Prix of St. Petersburg. It's why Christian Lundgaard didn't really have success. But honestly, that goes hand in hand with his team at Ray Hall Letterman Lanigan. They're not doing the best so far. I mean, they were the slowest three cars at the Indianapolis 500. Graham Barnhart didn't even make the show on speed. And the only reason he did is because someone got hurt and he filled that seat for the Indy 500. So there's still a lot of work to do. It's trending upwards, but it's a slow burn. Just 3 years from now, I think Christian Lundgaard can be a star contending for wins on a regular basis. But right now, it's just he's too far. He's too far down the pecking order.
All right. So you do think he's for real, but you think you think some circumstances have got to change for it to be a more permanent success. Mm-hmm. All right. So with the NHRA, Clay Milliken won the Top Fuel. Matt Hagen won the Funny Car. Troy Coughlin Jr. won the Pro Stock. And Gage Herrera wins Pro Stock Motorcycle. I'm not going to break that down the way Adam would, simply because that's Adam's thing. And I'm not going to pretend to be the great Canadian Adam Carabine. God love him. So with that, you know what it's time for? It's time, Peggy. Are you ready? Are you ready? It's time for our happy hour headlines. I was wondering if she was ready. She was ready. All right, so the Australian invasion of NASCAR continues. You've heard of the British invasion in rock and roll. Well, this is the Australian invasion in NASCAR. So SVG is coming back for the Indy Road Course. He'll be, of course, with Trackhouse and Project 91 again, as is fellow Australian Supercars champ Brody Kostecki for RCR in the number 33. All right, let's break that down. SVG's coming back, coming home, I dare say. Of course, he won the Chicago Street Course in historic fashion, the technically darkening shortened race is how that went down. But you can make an argument it was rain shortened because of the fact the rain is what made the dark happen anyway. SVG's one for one. What's your expectations heading into race number two, the Indy Road Course? Bit of a different animal because keep in mind, folks, keep in mind, I know the SVG hype train is big. It's like a love train. I get it. But keep in mind, this is not a new track for NASCAR. This is not a new experiment at this point. We're pretty used to the Indy Road Course now. What are your expectations for race two for SVG, Mr. Best?
I think the race is going to be kind of like what we saw last year, but for people who don't know who Brody is, I'll fill you in a little bit. So Scott McLaughlin left the V8 Supercar Series. He went to the IndyCar Series. Him and Scott McLaughlin and SVG were sort of the top two guys in that series. Someone needed to fill that role to challenge SVG. It was Brody. So Brody and SVG are the two top guys in the Australian V8 Supercar Series, and now they're coming to the Cup Series for one race at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. This is going to be a fantastic race between the two. It wouldn't surprise me if these two both dominate the entire race. It would truly wouldn't surprise me, but it would sure be a damn good race between the two. And it would kind of be what, as because I ate crow at the Chicago Street Course race. I was wrong. we all saw a couple weeks ago how wrong I was. You even had footage. We even had receipts. But if anyone is going to put on a great road course race in this car, which we haven't really seen so far yet in the next gen era, it's going to be these two guys to really show the full potential of what these next gen cars can do on road courses. Will the race be an absolute S show? Absolutely. If this race has cautions under 10 to go, it's good. We're going to be waiting for an hour for the race to finish. Guarantee it. But will it be an entertaining race? Absolutely. And also, don't forget, Jensen Button's in the 15 car for Rick Ware Racing. And then I forget the other guy, but he's a very talented sports car racer, and he's getting a one-off shot at Indianapolis as well. So a lot of road course racing talent internationally is coming to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and it sure hopes to put on a good race for everyone.
Look, I hope that it does. I think that the more talent we have in the field, the better. I like the fact that the Indy road course is looking like it's going to be our biggest field since the Daytona 500. That is a plus. It is not a good thing, in my opinion, that it's the same 36, occasionally 37, if you count Jimmy Johnson, drivers in the field this season, and has been that way for the last several seasons. So I love the fact that we're getting more international talent to come over and try their hand at NASCAR, especially because of this next-gen car. Now, how will they do? I have no idea. The great thing about SVG's win at Chicago is that had to inspire several international drivers that have thought about taking the plunge and doing a NASCAR race to go, well, if he can go over there and win, maybe I could go in there and, you know, maybe not win necessarily, but a top 10 day and not embarrass myself or a team by any stretch. I think this is only the beginning as far as the international flavor that is going to not be a full course menu per se in NASCAR, but certainly going to sprinkle in here and there throughout the season. And that is a good thing, because I think the bigger the field, the better for the sport. That is just my take. What is your take in the comments below? Do you want SVG back in NASCAR? Is there another international superstar that you're thinking ought to come take the plunge? Let us know in the comments below. We'd love to hear from you. All right. So when it comes to Kostecki in RCR, do you have any lower expectations for him than you would SVG? Because I hate to say this, but I feel like a third car at RCR is not going to have the resources the Project 91 is. What say you?
I think I'm looking at it like how we look at Martinsville and Danica Patrick. Now, Danica Patrick, at the time when she was at Stewart Haas Racing, was in pretty good equipment. And statistically, Martinsville was her best track that she finished at. I mean, the more top tens in her career came at Martinsville than any other track. And I think Martinsville can, a road course can really kind of, you know, make driver talent the more premium than what we saw, you know, at regular oval tracks where it's more about the team. But let's not forget that, let's follow the Tyler Reddick blueprint is wherever Kyle Busch has been bad at, Tyler Reddick has been bad at. And wherever RCR Kyle Busch has been good at so far this year, Tyler Reddick was also good so far this year. And who won the Indianapolis race last year? Well, was it Tyler Reddick? Tyler Reddick won that race last year. So RCR has that place figured out. I'm pretty sure they'll give him a good car, but he's an excellent driver. And if anyone can, you know, get everything out of that RCR machine like Kyle Busch can, it's certainly going to be Brody too. So I have no complaints over, or no qualms or issues over the equipment that RCR will bring at Indianapolis.
No qualms. That's word of the day. Qualms. We'll see what happens on that front. All right. Arguably the biggest story coming out of the Martin Truex win Monday was not the racing. The racing was fine. By the way, I do want to say, if you look at it on the surface, you might think that's another Martin Truex Jr. won a snoozer. As far as the lead goes, perhaps that is true. That was some great racing New Hampshire provided throughout the field, though. I think that should be touched on and noted. But the biggest story coming out of the day, in my view, was not Martin Truex winning. It was the very interesting comments he made in his post-race presser, to where he pretty much said, essentially, I don't, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but it sure sounds like it could go either way on him coming back or not coming back next year. We had all assumed that because he's competing so well and is clearly a championship contender that he wouldn't even really think about stepping away. As it turns out, he is not sure what he's going to do. It sounds, if I had to make a guess, it almost sounds like he's leaning toward not coming back because of how well he's doing. Even though he said that competing or how I'm competing doesn't have a lot to do with it. It's a matter of, do I want to, you know, the time and the effort and the energy. And, you know, he said it is not just get in the car, drive and go home. It's a lot of time, a lot of travel. And do I want to keep missing the things with the family? Did you get a chance to look at these comments, Colin, and what'd you make of them? Because, we all kind of, including yours truly, I kind of, you know, I shrugged off the possibility of Martin Truex stepping away after 2023 because he has been, again, he is clearly in contention for his second championship. And he made it sound like it's a very, not a certainty by any stretch, but a very real possibility that he may opt to not come back next season.
Yeah, I mean, with every veteran driver, there's always a question or two if they're going to leave. And, you know, Kevin Harvick last year was kind of that first domino to fall of drivers who've been around, I don't know, since 2001 to 2004. And, you know, they're leaving now. And if Kevin Harvick leaves, then that means Martin Truex Jr. is now sort of the elder statesman in the garage. And it wouldn't surprise me if he left. Now, he does have a Cup Series championship. Last year, statistically, was his worst season he's ever had. Now this year, he has 3 wins, and he's on top of the world. And he's probably going to be the best driver going into the Cup Series playoffs at this point. So it's this weird kind of dichotomy where he's good enough to keep doing this. He's still kind of sort of in the prime of his career. Mark Martin's won when he was 53 years old. So, I mean, there's no real age limit anymore on how when drivers fall off. But, you know, he's had relationship struggles in the past. They're certainly public. There are things outside of there more important to him than racing for the rest of his life. And, you know, I commend Martin Truex for acknowledging that. But part of me thinks that he's not going to go, but I'm like 51% sure that he's a championship favorite at this point. And if he goes into the championship four and wins it, he's gone. Like, he goes on top. He no one can dispute that he is probably one of the greatest drivers in NASCAR history if he does it this year and wins a championship in Phoenix. So to me, I think if he wins the championship in Phoenix, he retires. If he doesn't, I think he gives it one more go.
Here's the issue with that, Colin. Here's the issue with that. With this unique sport that we love, there's next to no off season. You get the holidays, and that's pretty much it, you know, other than the month of January. And you can make an argument that it's not off season anymore. That's prepping for Daytona and testing and all that. He clearly needs to make a decision soon because – well, in my view, he needs to, because Gibbs has got to start planning and locking down sponsorship for what I presume would be John Hunter Nemechek. What say you? Does he have the luxury of taking as long as he wants, a la Brett Favre style? You know, does he have that luxury? I don't think he does, because this is such a unique sport. There is such little real, genuine off-season. I don't know that he has that luxury of waiting until, all right, let's see if I can do it. I think you got to make that call relatively soon, within the next month or so, wouldn't you?
I would say I would say at least before Watkins Glen, he'd have to make that decision. If he's already made it now, we don't know. He could already be announced, and we can just be keeping it hush hush. I mean, Eric Almirola, when he announced he was going to retire last year, you know, he did it pretty late in the season, and then he announced very late in the season that he was going to come back for 2023. You know, we're in the same boat right now with Martin Truex Jr. and Eric Almirola, where they are both veterans sort of aging themselves out of the sport. One is really successful right now, whereas Eric Almirola is statistically having his worst season ever in a stock car. So to me, it's we're seeing the tales of two different things right now. One's successful, one's not, and one's gonna bow out gracefully, Martin Truex Jr., and one's kind of ruining his kind of the legacy of his career, even though he kind of really didn't have a legacy. I don't know, but you know, for in and we all know in this business, things take a while to develop. And you know, if John Hunter Nemechek comes back in the Cup Series, he would certainly be tapped for the ride if Joe Gibbs, you know, chooses to. But to me, I feel like I don't think we're going to know. Like, we no one knew that Carl Edwards was going to retire at the end of Homestead. No one knew. Like, this was just a thing that just happens. And honestly, until the Clash rolls around in 2024, wherever that may be, in my mind, I still think Martin Truex Jr. will still be in that seat. So I kind of, when it comes to Martin Truex Jr., I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, you know, I can certainly understand that standpoint. I now kind of think maybe that he, and again, we're reading the tea leaves, we're reading his statements. We don't know, but I now kind of it almost sounds like he might be leaning towards retirement. To me, to my ears, to my perceptions. And again, if you'd have told me that last week, I'd have said hogwash. But it was odd to me because there is a great. He has the great chance to do, even if he doesn't win the championship, he goes out pretty much on top with, I mean, where he's at right now. And that's a rare thing in any sport, but certainly this sport. This sport is littered with, as is all sports, but this sport is littered with guys that, you know, and there's no shame in it, but been hanging on too long. It happens. It's okay. It's whatever. It's, I think people earn the right to decide when it's time, so I'm not upset at that. Eric Almirola, kind of the same thing. You know, for as rough a season as he's had, having arguably his worst ever, he still brings money with Smithfield, so I'm sure Stuart Haas would be glad to have him back. I would be very surprised, by the way, at this point, unless something changes rather swiftly if Eric Almirola is back next year, but that's neither here nor there. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I'm a believer that when you're someone of a Martin Truex Jr. stature, maybe not so much in Eric Almirola, no disrespect, but his career just hasn't had and been to what a Martin Truex is. You know, I know this is selfish, what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it. I feel like you should kind of come back for the one more year and, or at least say, like, now, this is my last year. That way, whomever likes you has the chance to travel and say, I saw Martin Truex during his last season. That means something to people. That means something to people to be able to – I mean, how many people traveled to races to see Dale Jr. during his final year? Or we all – you know, the Richard Petty retirement tour. It wasn't about, you know, Richard Petty going out and being a champion. That wasn't realistic at that time. It was about the fans giving them a chance to say goodbye. Or Jeff Gordon. I mean, how many – again, it's about how many times – can I, you know, your fans that we, because more than any other sport, and this is what's so unique about motorsports, the fans are what make you who you are. If the fans don't support you and buy the products, it's very hard to sell sponsorship. You know, and fans are important in every sport, ladies and gentlemen. I want that to be very clear. But NASCAR and motorsports as a whole is unique in the sense of they are pivotal in terms of supporting you and buying your products. Because if Chase Elliott was selling a boatload of Mountain Dews, do you think Pepsi leaves the sport? Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's all about return of investment in this sport. So that's where I know it's a selfish and perhaps archaic take, but I feel like for someone that is of a Martin Truex standard, and I'm not saying there's not Eric Almirola diehards out there. I'm sure there are. But for someone of a Martin Truex level, I feel like you should make up your mind as soon as possible, at least for this year, or even if you could be selfless and maybe do one more because you want to give your fans a chance to kind of say goodbye and have that closure. Again, I know that's a selfish and somewhat archaic take, but I think it's fitting in this sport that is more driven by fans than any other that I can openly think of at this moment. Just my opinion. We'll see what happens. Ryan Vargas joins 3F Racing to be part of their development into hopefully the Cup Series. this was an interesting piece of news. We know Ryan Burgess well on Racing Refresh as a whole. I've interviewed him. Our founder, AJ Peel, has a good relationship with him. What did you make of this news, Colin?
I don't want to be offensive to Ryan Vargas because I like the guy too. Right. He's very down to earth. But
he's so endearing. There's something so endearing about him.
Yeah, he's kind of like a real person. Like you're talking to a real guy. Part of me was like, huh? Who? What is 3F Racing? And then why is Ryan Vargas, who has only had like, I'm just gonna be honest, like maybe 10 starts in the Xfinity series so far this year, and that's not his fault. That's, you know, the JD Motorsports and whatever it's called. He's now on tap to be their reserve driver. So he's going to the Cup Series, and now he's doing driver development. And I had a Wikipedia 3F Racing about 30 minutes before the show started because I didn't know who the hell they were. I'm just going to be honest. I didn't know who 3F, I don't know. I mean, it's like the money team maybe. I'm not sure, but it's a German team, the NASCAR's first German team, based in Welcome, North Carolina, on the campus of RCR. They've said they're going to go racing in 2023, and it doesn't happen. They're announced in 2022 they'll finish the season in 2022, and that doesn't happen. And then they said they got a guy for the Truck Series and the Arca Menards Series, and he hasn't raced for them either. So it looks like this team is gearing up for 2024 to be their debut. Now, the thing is, they won't be a charter member. Possibly they won't be a charter member, which means they will – have to qualify in for every race they will be, but you know, the sport says you get 40, and as long as four other people don't show up, they're going to race every single week. So, every single week except the Daytona 500, we have no idea what happens there. But I mean, this is probably one of the feel good stories of the 2023 series. Then another team could come in, and they're probably going to be Chevrolet because RCR affiliation, but. I think it's good. I think it's a good move. I'm not really sure. I mean, it's just hush hush, and you know, it's just there's just so many things hanging in the air right now. I don't even think this team has a website, so or a Twitter page or anything. So I'll be very interested to see. I'm not going to keep my eye on it. What say you, Logan? Is this a How many Logans do you give it? 1 out of 5.
It's perplexing in terms of if Logan is the most odd you can be, it's 5 Logans. It's definitely on the Loganity scale of what in the blue hell is going on here. And it's not I'm not making light of Ryan Vargas. He is a battler. He has a dream, and he's doing everything he can to achieve it. If I'm making light of anything, it's that you're right. 3F Racing has this based on when you go and read about them, they've had a lot of, we're going to do this, and that doesn't happen. And in their defense, things like this take time, and usually more time than someone that's starting out realizes. And so let's give them that grace. But yeah, this is extremely odd. I don't know why, and I'm not knocking Ryan Vargas. But when I think about driver development into the Cup Series, that he is down on my list. So I don't understand what's going on there. Plus, you'd love to know who exactly is 3F Racing, who's backing them, what is it, who, you know, is there somebody with credentials that we can say and look at and go, hey, they know what they're doing. And I'm not suggesting that some of the people that are involved in this operation don't. Let me be very clear about that, too. I'm saying since we don't know, we don't know. You know, I believe Jeb Bush in 2016, I know what I don't know. And right now, I know what I don't know. I have no idea what to make of this situation. And I wish Ryan Vargas the best. He's such a likable guy. He has such an endearing quality. And you talk about a guy that wants it. He clearly wants it. And so we're rooting for him hard. But I don't know what to make of this. I think more teams is a good thing. But until I see something in terms of like real pen to paper and a website and maybe a car number, it's tough to take it and treat it with the legitimacy it deserves. But right now, I have a hard time doing more than batting my eye at it. We'll see what happens. NASCAR issued a stern communication to drivers in all 3 main series about restarts in response to the stack up on lap 71 on the Xfinity race. Let's touch on that for a moment. Colin, what do you make of this? Stern communication, whatever in the blue hell that might mean.
I feel like it's NASCAR just saying that we yelled at all the drivers for playing games on the restarts and we're not going to have it anymore. I mean, playing games on the restarts is cool. I mean, it's fine. It's part of this thing that we see in racing where you have rolling starts and rolling restarts is, you know, there's some gamesmanship to be played and you're going to try to take every advantage you can, and especially in New Hampshire when passing and track position is so important. You got to get everything you can, especially after a restart. The flip side of that is if you play stupid – I'm quoting Taylor Swift here, but if you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. And that's what we saw in the lap 71 wreck, and it destroyed a lot of cars in that race. It ended a lot of people's day. And – thing about NASCAR is they want teams to not spend as much money as they possibly can. And by having wrecks on the restart, we talked about this earlier in the year. I think it was Auto Club where there was this giant wreck coming to the green flag. And I think Brad Keselowski, and we talked about it here on Racing Refresh Happy Hour. And we're like, hey, the start box is too long. And when it's too long, games will be played and things like this will happen. You know, I think it's the right move by NASCAR. But, I mean,
I still think about shortening that sucker up.
I still think about it, too. I think, you know, having just a very short box where you got to go, I think would serve everyone better because there would be no chance to play games. Or if you did play games, the punishment would be so severe because everyone would notice. Everyone, it wouldn't be like, oh, he may have rolled the tires. It would be like you have a 3-car length lead before you even cross the line. And like that's a huge issue, which, right, you know, the sport could police itself a little better on. So I'm all for this. Hell, I'm up to the point where just go on the flag, go on the green flag. That's what short tracks do. If NASCAR is so, you know, we want to make as many routes as we can to the short track scene in America, then just go on the green flag, just like everyone else does. I think it'd be perfect.
Cause yeah, I think you got to at least shorten the box because right now, and look, I'm going to phrase this in a very layman's terms. This is not a professional way of saying this, but right now what we're doing on these restarts, we're playing the who farted game, essentially. We're essentially going, we know somebody did it, but we don't know who, and we don't know why. Guess what? You shorten that sucker up, we'll figure out who did it really, really quickly if they want to play those games. Let's stop doing that because all you're doing is ruining a bunch of days for what? For what? I don't know. I know that's part of this sport is they're always going to look for some weird advantage of placing gamesmanship and mind games. But sometimes there are brains spilling all over the racetrack, and I don't understand it. That's just my personal opinion. All right. So it was a pretty light news week this week. So that means it's time for our weekend preview.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There it is. There it is. That's right. Who'd have thought we'd been talking about farts on Racing Refresh Happy Hour?
Yeah, it's the first time we ever talked about farts on Racing Refresh Happy Hour.
That's essentially what we're doing on these restarts. So, all right, let's preview this weekend. NASCAR, Trucks, Xfinity, and Cup are all at the Tricky Triangle. That's right. Crank up your Run DMC, perhaps your Beach Boys, and change the words from Kokomo to Pocono, whatever you're into. It's time for the Tricky Triangle. Some people love this track. Other people can't stand this track. What turn four is what we'll ask ourselves. Here's some positives. The weather looks good for Sunday. We haven't said that in about a month worth of Sundays. So there's only a 10% chance of rain from what I've seen. So everything looks pretty good unless you get one of those dreaded pop-ups, which is always possible in summertime. But all right, let's break it down really quickly. Well, not that quickly. We're doing well on time. Pocono to me, when I think Pocono, and I don't know about you, Colin, I think this. I think long green flag runs. I think gas mileage. And I think, oh my God, a brake might fail and somebody might get hurt. I think those are the things I think about. I think long green flag runs. I think gas mileage. And I think brake failures, whether that be Bubba Wallace a few years ago, Jeff Gordon way back, Jimmy Johnson, yes. And so that's what I think of. With the stages, Do you still see a path to one of those classic Pocono fuel mileage races at the end of stage three?
I mean, you do. I mean, every time we go to Pocono, the crew chiefs on TV or radio will say, you know, we work this just like a road course. We go from the end of the race and we work it back to do it as less stops as evenly possible. I mean, I think fuel mileage can come down to it. I think brake rotors, with them failing, especially in the past couple weeks, that could be a huge issue, especially for Legacy Motor Club, because I feel like they just haven't figured that out yet. Because they're the ones who've been affected by it the most. I don't know what they're doing over there.
Yeah,
both everyone gets the same brakes, and obviously something to them is going wrong. Mm-hmm. But to me, with the next gen car, I enjoyed last year's Pocono race, and I feel like we'd be reminiscent to say that, you know, we're now 1 year post Kurt Busch being in the car with probably the most devastating non-fatal accident that's ever happened in NASCAR history, and in a year's time, huge safety improvements have been made to the next gen car to hopefully where we don't see something like that, what happened to Kurt Busch, happen again. But I'm actually excited for the race. I think all three series are going to put on fantastic shows. The only negative thing I'd say about Pocono, because I actually enjoy the race, is why the truck stages. I don't know if you know this, but it's like the first stage is like 10 laps and the second stage is like 8, and then it's like 15 to go, and then you're fine. If you're going to have like a 5-lap stage, don't even have a stage at that point. Say F it, just go to green flag. But to me, I think this is gonna be a fantastic weekend of racing, especially with all the stuff happening. We're on both series, we're getting oval races, one short track, one super speedway ish. I'm not sure what you call it. Big, I mean, it's not a classic super speedway race, but it's not like a pack race either. But I'm excited. Are we making picks yet? Because I looked at the list Adam sent me, and I realized I have heavy hitters on that list. And I could have been winning this whole fucking time. Sorry, the whole freaking time, and I haven't been. So it's my fault that I'm an idiot.
Well, first of all, I don't think you're an idiot, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, my fiancé would disagree with you.
We will. Hey, my fiancé doesn't think too much of my intelligence either. Nonetheless, we will make picks momentarily. Do you have any trucks and Xfinity picks off the top of your head?
It's hard to go against John Hunter Nemechek in the Xfinity series, but I will this week. I'm actually going to say Josh Berry picks up the win in the Xfinity series at Pocono. It's kind of like he's familiar with the corners. I mean, you can kind of race it like a short track. You can kind of race it like a road course. The only difference is you're going 180 miles an hour into all three turns and then slowing down a considerable amount. So to me, I think Josh Berry wins the Xfinity series race in the truck series race. I'm still going with Nick Sanchez, even though I don't think the Nick Sanchez thing hasn't played out, but he started off the season really great. But I'm going to go with Corey Heim. He gets the win in the truck series race.
For the Xfinity race, I'll take Mr. Justin Allgaier. I think the veteran's due to get it done. And then I'm going to take Zane Smith. I think he's my championship favorite in the truck series. So that's who I'll go with. We'll make our Cup Series picks in just a moment. But first, the NHRA, they'll be in Kent, Washington. But Indy's got the Iowa doubleheader. Tell us about it, Colin.
Yeah, man, this is probably one of the coolest things. And I wish the Cup Series would go to Iowa, because it's a great short track facility, and it's a shame IndyCar only races there once a year, and it's a doubleheader. From what I've heard, the stands are like 95% sold out for both days. There's going to be great concerts. I think Blake Shelton's going to be at a concert one day. So there's just going to be a whole party up in the cornfields of Iowa this weekend. And, you know, we come to Iowa, we think of close racing, cars flying through the air because it's a short track. They have nowhere to go. But this is Team Penske's playground. And there's one driver in the Team Penske stable who has won here more than anyone else, and it's Joseph Newgarden. And he dominated race one. He was going to dominate race two, and then he had a toe link fail, and then he wrecked coming out of turn four, and it ended his day. But if anyone's going to continue this domination to hopefully win their second Astor Cup by the end of the year, because we're quickly approaching the month of September. We're quickly approaching the end of the IndyCar series season, which is a damn shame because it's been going so great to this point. But we're getting there. The championship picture is becoming clearer, and it'll be very clear after Sunday. So, my mind,
I think just Joseph Newgarden sets himself above the rest. Alex Palou has done great on the road courses, don't get me wrong, but there are ovals still on the schedule with Iowa and Gateway later in the year. I'm going to go Joseph Newgarden. We'll call the next show Newgarden Strikes Back, because he's going to get back in the championship hunt. So Joseph Newgarden takes the double letter.
Newgarden Strikes Back. Well, we'll have to run it by the boss, and that would be Adam Pierbine. But look, that's not all we have to talk about. In F1, you got the return of Daniel Ricciardo. Talk to me about it.
Yeah, man. So this is going to be a very exciting weekend for F1. There are two big things. One is Daniel Ricciardo returning to AlphaTauri. I can't remember the joke, but Daniel Ricciardo was replaced by a bunch of other drivers at Toro Rosso back in the day when he was with them. And it was like five drivers. One replaced Daniel Ricciardo, the other replaced. And then it turns out that Daniel Ricciardo came full circle. And now he replaced the guy who replaced him, who replaced him, who replaced him, who replaced Daniel Ricciardo in the first place. I thought it was a little funny thing. But the big story of the weekend isn't Ricciardo coming back. It's actually the new qualifying format for Formula One. So in each round of qualifying, teams will be set to a different tire allocation. In the first round, you'll be set to the hard tires. In the second round, you'll be on mediums. And then in Q3, you'll be set for the soft tires. F1 is doing this net zero 2030 plan. And right now they are at 13 tires for a qualifying allocation every weekend. And they're going to go to 11 by 2030. I don't see how that's going to affect everything, because you're still getting 11 sets of tires. And I don't know, that just seems really stupid to me. And also, like, I was on here last year, but their schedule about trying to make it to where they're getting to that net zero thing, it's really stupid, because they still have to go from like Las Vegas to like Abu Dhabi at the end. So they really have to fly across the world to be net zero. I'm not sure. I don't know. They're just elitist over there overseas. But to me, be careful, because after Hungary, because I know Max Verstappen's going to win this weekend. But Team Red Bull said they're bringing upgrades to their car that said they can make them 0.2 faster than what they currently are. And the best joke of it all would be is Mercedes had the no side pod car design. Do you remember that? It looked ugly as hell. You may have seen pictures of it. What if, and I just want to think, Adrian Newey, he's a genius. He's an evil genius. What if he found a way to make the sideless side pod F1 car work, and then he can look at Mercedes and say, this is what you wanted to work, this is what you thought that would beat me, but I used your design and I'm going to be 0.2 quicker than the entire field. That's a scary thought, and Max Verstappen's going to get bored winning all these races. He'll leave F1 by the end of the year, maybe, possible, don't know. But just know that Red Bull is like the empire right now. And just like Newgarden striking back at Iowa, someone needs to strike back at Team Red Bull. And I know exactly the man to do it. Daniel Ricciardo. Because this is him trying out for Team Red Bull for 2024. And if he gets it back, then all the ladies in Australia will swoon. Peggy may swoon because of Daniel Ricciardo's golden smile and his abs. He's a lovable guy. Don't get me wrong. We all love Daniel Ricciardo. Everyone loves him. No one hates him. And everyone wants him to be back on Team Red Bull, winning races and falling into swimming pools again.
You've got a lot of theories. I remember your Andretti theory about Spire Motorsports. We'll see if that comes true.
It hasn't come to fruition yet, but I guarantee you it will. But Max Verstappen's going to win. I think my podium's going to be Verstappen, P1. P2, I'm going to go with Lando Norris. He impressed at the Silverstone Grand Prix. I'm thinking those upgrades help out the Team McLaren, who desperately need a rebound. But also I'm going to go P3, the one who finishes P3 almost every single week, the man, Taylor Swift's alleged boyfriend, Fernando Alonso.
Oh, Taylor Swift's alleged boyfriend on the podium. And, hey, while we're making picks, Peggy, do you know what time it's time for? It's time for Racing Refresh picks. Oh, yeah, looky there, looky there, looky there. Peggy, come on in here. Come on in here and break it down for us one good time. Do you want to tell us who's going to go first and do all that fun stuff?
Well, I won last week.
Damn. I'm at three.
With Brad Keselowski. He finished fifth. So Logan and I are now tied.
Nope, don't like that.
Let's see. Colin finished last, so he gets to pick first.
I actually have heavy hitters remaining on my list, ladies and gentlemen. Let's just walk through who I have. I have Ross Chastain, Watermelon Man. He's still on my list. Kyle Larson, Ryan Blaney, Chase Briscoe, Martin Truex Jr., and Daniel Suarez. That's five guys who can possibly win every single week. I was going to say Austin Dillon, but that would be an insult to like everyone in the NASCAR Cup Series garage because he sucks. I'm not going to go with AJ Allmendinger. Not going to go with Chase Briscoe, even though he had a good week last week. He was running inside the top 10.
Yeah.
Harrison Burton sucks too. Austin Dillon sucks. Just say it again just so everyone can figure it out. But I'm sitting at three wins so far, and there's like six races left to go. I need to pick up the steam. I need to tie Peggy and Logan because they're sitting at like six. Whatever. I'm going to go Kyle Larson. Kyle Larson gets it done. It's a lock for me to win. A lock. I will eat more hot dogs if I don't win this week. I'll eat like 50.
Today is National Hot Dog Day.
Today is National Hot Dog Day. So, Peggy, who's next?
Next is Adam, who gave me his pick. His pick is Brad Keselowski. And so, Logan, you're next.
All right. Well, let me look at my list here that Adam sent me a few weeks ago. Okay.
I didn't get a list.
I'm going to take one AJ Allmendinger.
It's a good pick. Good pick.
And then I get to pick last because I won.
You keep saying that. We heard you the first three times.
I won. Adam never sent me a list, but I don't think I've taken Bubba Wallace yet. So I'm going to take Bubba.
Good pick. Good pick.
Okay. I think we have four style picks, ladies and gentlemen. I really do.
But I guarantee you I'm going to win. Mike.
I think it's going to be a good race. We'll see what happens. All right. So with that, look, every episode must come to an end. And believe it or not, we're already at episode 20 of this thing called Racing Refresh Happy Hour. And to get to 21, we have to end this one. So, Peggy, it's time for closing time.
Oh, beautiful.
Closing time.
Can we
all
do
right.
Our next episode, what's
9 plus 10? Yeah. All right, Peggy, final words.
Well, I hope, even though I picked Bubba, that Chase, not Chase, sorry, Ryan Blaney wins.
Ryan Blaney, who old Chase Race-A-Lot has her heart.
I mean,
what was Ryan Blaney's character name in Cars 3?
I don't know.
I think it was like Ryan Laney. Like
Ryan Blaney. Cars 3. I have this internet machine. Yeah, Ryan inside Laney. Why don't you use inside Laney? Like that's actually a good one. And you just use Chase Race-A-Lot. Put up Chase Race-A-Lot right now. Do it. Put him up.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There he is.
Where's Chase Race-A-Lot at? Not Chase Race. Where's Ryan inside Laney at?
I don't even know what Ryan Laney looks like.
Chase Elliott's biggest stan. Peggy the producer.
He's still in the 21 car, but the problem with this, with the Ryan inside Laney whole scheme is it's orange and blue, and it should have been Wood Brothers red and white.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what it should have been, and it would have been cool, but it's orange and blue, and it kind of sucks.
Stand by, everyone. Stand by.
We're live, ladies and gentlemen. We're live.
Colin, you do you have any final words while we're waiting?
you know, it's been a beautiful day here on the Gulf Coast. And, you know, if you are watching where I am, I'm on the Gulf Coast of Florida. It's beautiful, beautiful day. Heat warnings in effect. See, look how awful that is. Wouldn't that be cool if it was Wood Brothers Red and White?
Yeah, it would.
Yeah.
That would.
Yeah.
It has his eyes, though.
Who cares about his eyes? His car looks like crap. That is a horrible paint scheme. Anyway, if you're looking for, you know, just amazing journalism by me in the day, support your local newspaper. Just buy a subscription, even for a weekend. It's like $10. Do that. It helps pay me, helps support what we're doing here at this house. Keeps my lights on. And also pays for my iRacing subscription. I really need that just to like survive and get through my day. Other than that, it's great to be back. It was great to be with you, Logan, your handsome devil. SummerSlam is a couple days away. We're going to see, you know, Logan Paul and Ricochet lead off the show. It's going to be a freaking time. And, you know, Dominic Mysterio won the NXT North American Championship. And, like, that kind of sucks too. But, you know, Judgment Day is the new power. I'm rambling on because we're over now, 50 seconds over our time. So follow me at TheColumnVest for more insight, more thoughts. Follow at Loganity and follow Peggy, and she'll tell you all about Ryan Blaney's eyes and how she gets lost in them all the time.
Look, it's true. And with that, we hope you've enjoyed episode 20. We hope you've enjoyed all 20 episodes thus far of Race and Refresh Happy Hour. We guarantee you many, many more to go. And with that, we'll see you next week. A hearty Omaha to each of you. Enjoy the race, everybody. I'm gone.
See you.